Welcome to the Finding True Health podcast, episode number 27. Today we'll be talking about fat phobia. It's a somewhat difficult conversation to have, especially given some of the memories that it brings up for me as a child in a larger body. But I think it's a really important conversation that we all as a society need to be having and need to be having often. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I like to keep things pretty low drama and nuanced around here. I like to look at both sides of every issue and really be as neutral as possible so that you can make decisions that work best for you and your life. But when it comes to topics like fat phobia and weight stigma, I have a hard time controlling my passion and my opinions. There are simply no pros in my mind to weight bias. This is a serious issue that's really near and dear to my heart. We have a lot of work to do in this area, and I feel like it's going to take a small army, maybe a large army of really passionate people to help combat the massive media and diet industries and just society as a whole when it comes to these topics to help turn the tides. So I'm still going to try to keep things as calm as possible, but fair warning, I might get a little more riled up than usual. So buckle up, here we go. Hey there, friends. My name's Jenna Waite. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist, mother of five, and someone who's passionate about helping others find true health in the midst of diet culture and body objectification. Join me as we take our focus off of weight and body size and put it on to becoming the healthiest possible versions of ourselves so that we can have energy to live our best lives. I am so excited you're here. Now let's dive in. Okay, this is a big topic that we've got today. It's going to cover a lot, and so I'm just going to cut right to the chase. We're not going to have any small talk here. Let's just get right into our topic. First, I want to define what the word fat phobia means. People use it in different ways. I saw some people online using it as describing their fear of like eating fat, eating foods with fat. But generally, when we say fat phobia, we mean the pathological fear of fatness, both fatness in yourself, fatness in other bodies. It's basically the fear or hatred or stigmatization of fat people. I remember as a child, every single time I wished upon a star, my wish was to be smaller. You know the little rhyme, starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might, have this wish I wish tonight. I wish I could lose weight. I wish I could lose weight. At 11 or 12 years old, that was my greatest wish. It wasn't to go to Disneyland or to do well in school or to just have fun friends or whatever 11 or 12 year olds normally think about. Losing weight felt like the most important thing in the world to me. There's definitely something wrong with that. I remember one time when I was probably about 13 or so, my family was driving in the car on a trip somewhere, and it was starting to get dark, and I was looking out the window, and I spotted that first star, and I said the rhyme over and over, and I just cried and prayed that Heavenly Father would help me lose weight. I was so ashamed of my body. I was so tired of being teased. And I have to say here, I actually wasn't being teased super frequently or like relentlessly. I wouldn't even say that I was being bullied. There were just comments here and there, enough of them that it really started eating away at my self-esteem and my self-worth. And a big part was just the messages that I was receiving all around on TV and magazines that my body was not the desirable size that bodies should be to be lovable. And those messages really contributed to my feelings of shame and hatred for my body. Not necessarily just the comments directed at me specifically. Unfortunately, I know that my story is not unique. I know there are literally millions of little girls and boys and of grown women and men out there who are doing the same thing I did, placing their value and worth, gauging their attractiveness and their health on the size of their body. My sweet sister-in-law told me once that when she was younger, she distinctly remembers feeling like it would be better to be dead than to be fat. Holy cow. What is going on? How did we get to this place where being fat is one of the worst things in the world someone could be? Worse than even being dead. As I got older, the quest to be smaller didn't stop, even though I got to a more socially acceptable size. Throughout my 20s and 30s, I always worried and thought about my weight. Even when my husband tried to assure me that he thought I was beautiful and that he was fine with my body size, I was convinced that I could not be attractive or be happy with my body unless I got to a smaller size. I finally had my wake-up moment in my late 30s. I've shared about that experience before, but basically I was in the bathroom bullying my body once again when I got a really powerful spiritual impression that I needed to stop once and for all. Two sentences came so distinctly into my head that it was as if someone in the room were speaking to me. The first sentence was, "You're focused on the wrong thing." And the second was, "Your body is amazing." I decided then and there that I was done with it all. I was done with body bashing. I was done with the never-ending pursuit of weight loss. I was done with being ungrateful for the amazing body that I'd been blessed with. After that aha moment in the bathroom, I began diving into the worlds of intuitive eating and health at every size. And that's when I learned how flawed our understanding of the relationship between health and weight really are. I also personally started putting all of my focus onto just creating healthy habits and paying attention to how I felt instead of caring about how much I weighed. Putting my scale away for good was one of the best things I've ever done for my health and for my life in general. I also started doing some serious work on my thoughts about bodies in general and the assumptions and the biases that I had about weight and body size. It was difficult and enlightening work, and now I can see those same biases that I didn't even realize I had. I see them everywhere. In the media, entertainment, in our education at schools, employment and healthcare, amongst family and friends. Once I realized and learned that people who experience weight bias or weight stigma or this fat shaming are much more likely to experience depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, poor body image, suicidal thoughts and behaviors, unsafe weight loss methods, avoidance of activity and increased calorie intake, I realized just how serious this was. And this is why I'm so passionate about the work I do now as a weight-inclusive dietitian, but also just as a woman in this world. So how the heck did we get here? And what can we do to turn the tide? Fat phobia and fat shaming are ingrained in our society. It's the water we all swim in, and weight bias has been around for over a century. I'm not going to get into the history here, although it's pretty fascinating to explore, and it has roots in racism and sexism and white supremacy. But basically, we've just had generation after generation passing on ideas about what people, particularly women, quote, should look like, and about what it means to be fat. My daughter Talia and I like to watch the show I Love Lucy together. It's such a classic, and even though it's a little cheesy at times, it still makes me laugh out loud pretty often. Lucille Ball is such a hoot, and she's really a legend. But my oh my, there is definitely some fat shaming and weight stigma in that show. Poor Ethel, who is actually very thin, gets picked on about her weight time after time. There is an episode when Lucy goes on a diet. There are multiple episodes of dancers and models and showgirls being complimented on their figures and kind of being oogled and completely objectified. There's another show, The Dick Van Dyke Show, that is another oldie but goodie that I like to watch sometimes. And that show isn't quite as bad, but it's also full of really objectifying comments about women. There's lots of comments about Mary Tyler Moore's figure and how desirable it is. So those shows were made in the 50s and the 60s, back when TVs were still black and white. Now, 60, 70 years later, media has only gotten worse and worse. We are being taught from the time we're so little, before we can even talk, what a beautiful, acceptable body looks like and what an unacceptable body looks like. We're told that if we don't fall in the acceptable body category, then we had better spend as much time and money and effort as possible and as needed to change or to, quote, fix ourselves. But media really isn't the only one to blame here. The multi-billion dollar diet industry thrives off of fat shaming and the insecurity that being in large body brings. People will pay big bucks in an effort to shrink their bodies. Diet culture tells us that thinner equals better, no matter what, all the while encouraging very unhealthy and unsustainable behaviors. And then it puts the blame on the dieter when they're unable to keep up with the diet, instead of blaming the diet, which is the real problem, was the real problem all along. The health industry, of which I'm a part, has really done us a disservice in this area as well. It's done a really great job spreading the message that fat equals unhealthy. Now, it's true that having a large amount of excess fat on the body has been associated with an increased risk of a number of diseases. But the health industry has tied the behaviors that often lead to weight gain so closely with the weight itself, and it acts as if the two are the same. It also seems to forget that unhealthy behaviors are just one potential cause of weight gain. It uses fear and shaming tactics on people who fall under certain BMI ranges to try and, quote, help them achieve better health. But studies are clear that shame lowers motivation to exercise, and weight discrimination has been found to be positively associated with binge eating and increased caloric intake. The health industry puts an unnecessary amount of focus on weight, insisting that weight is something that can be, quote, managed with enough willpower and motivation. Doctors have no problem prescribing plans and diets with so few calories that if a thin person ate that much, it would be considered an eating disorder. But apparently starving a fat person is perfectly acceptable because they obviously need to lose weight, quote, for their health. My sister Kim, who is also a weight-inclusive, health-at-every-size-aligned dietitian, and who is simply an incredible human being, was watching a news clip where a dietitian friend of hers was being interviewed. And the dietitian did a really good job of trying to steer the conversation to just building healthy, sustainable habits, even though they were trying to focus on weight and weight loss. But Kim was really upset by the footage being shown during the interview. It was shot after shot of people in large bodies walking around. Didn't show their heads, just their bodies. You've likely seen clips like this before. And it's these kinds of messages that just fuel that weight stigma, the shaming, and that fat phobia. They reinforce the idea that large bodies are the problem, the enemy. They make the assumption that you can't be healthy if you live in a body that has some extra fat on it. And they portray these types of bodies as gross and undesirable. Here's the thing. Even if someone is in a big body purely because of their lifestyle choices, someone else could have that exact same lifestyle and be in a small body. There are people who are lazy and unmotivated who are in small bodies. There are people who do not exercise and eat a lot of high-calorie foods who are in small bodies. And there are people who are very hard workers and who are smart and motivated and disciplined and happen to be in larger body. Thankfully, we don't find it socially acceptable to shame other people with different types of unhealthy lifestyles, like those who are overworked and really stressed out. In fact, those kinds of people often get glorified, but chronic stress is related to a whole host of potential problems, health problems. Labeling anybody and assuming that you know how they eat and what their lifestyle is like just based on their body size is just pure wrong. Weight stigma seems to be one of the last acceptable forms of biases in our society. I know we still have a lot of work to do around topics like racism and gender equality and inclusion regardless of sexual orientation and religious freedom. But at least most people are aware that those are actual issues that need to be addressed. It's shocking to me how few people are aware of or who even deny that weight bias is a thing or a problem. In fact, studies have found that as a society, between the years of 2004 and 2010, our attitudes around sexual orientation, race, skin tone, age, and disability all improved, thankfully, tending toward neutrality. But weight bias actually increased by 40% during that time. So we still have a long, long ways to go. So what can we do? First off, we can call it out when we see it, even if it's just to ourselves. Once you're more aware of weight bias and of body objectification, you really can't help but see it pop up everywhere. And the more aware you become, the more we're going to be able to do something about it someday, if not right then. Whenever possible or appropriate, it's great if you can let others know how you feel and know that maybe what they're saying is not appropriate. This can be done kindly, I promise. It doesn't have to be done in a mean or argumentative way. And I'm also not saying that you have to call it out in every instance. Some people really might not feel safe calling out weight stigma, especially if they're the ones being stigmatized. But certainly they have the right to if they feel comfortable. And that's also why it's all the more important that those of us with a little more privilege and inherent power, we do stand up for those who might not be able to stand up for their own rights. Years ago, some of you may remember a popular fast food restaurant created some commercials of basically naked women eating their hamburgers in a very provocative way. And I was quite mortified that my young boys were being subjected to the commercials and that women were being portrayed in such objectifying ways. So I sent a message to that fast food chain and I let them know that my family and I would not be eating at their restaurants until they stopped showing commercials like that. And they sent a message back that they got my message and they thanked me for my opinion and that it mattered. And my guess is they got enough messages like that from enough people who felt the way I did, because it really wasn't long after that that they stopped running those kinds of commercials. You really never know what reaching out can do, even if it's to a big corporation. You might feel like you can't make a difference, but your voice really does matter. Because weight stigma is really rampant in the healthcare field, if you are someone in a larger body, remember that you have the right to stand up for yourself when going to the doctor. You can decline to be weighed, especially if it isn't necessary for your visit. You can refuse to be put on a low-calorie or really restrictive diet. You can refuse to be talked into getting weight loss surgery, which can have some really dangerous and lasting side effects. I'm so proud of my sister Kim, the one I mentioned earlier who's a dietitian. Until recently, Kim used to work for our local hospital as a clinical dietitian. As part of her job, she ran a diabetes prevention class. And the class was great, she said. It taught principles of intuitive eating and it taught healthy habit formation, and she was able to help a lot of people in that program. But she was also really frustrated with the fact that the program was, and still is, called Way to Health, W-E-I-G-H, to health. And participants had to weigh in at every meeting. She spoke with her director about her concern, and she was told that there was nothing they could do about it, but she didn't give up. After she ended up quitting her job to stay home and raise her little boy, and afterwards she wrote a really nice and respectful letter and sent it to a lot of the department heads, and this time she got some really positive responses, and other dietitians had mentioned that they were feeling the same way, and it sounds like hopefully the ball is rolling in the right direction to really see some change and to get some things changed in that program. So I was just really proud that she used her voice, and even though the first time she kind of got a no, she didn't give up. She tried again. And often it probably will take more than one try to get some change in some areas. Even a simple comment on a Facebook post can be helpful. Again, please remember, people are much more likely to be receptive to feedback if it's given in a kind way. We are all learning and growing here. There is no need to belittle anybody or to pick a fight or to be disrespectful in any way when sharing our concerns about weight stigma. Another thing we can do is to stop complimenting other people based on their body size. This is a whole podcast episode for another day, but saying something like, "You look so good. Did you lose weight?" just fuels this fear of being big. You never know if you're complimenting somebody's eating disorder or if they had just gone through a divorce or were really sick and that's why they lost the weight. Or maybe they did intentionally lose the weight through a diet, but you don't know if they're going to gain that weight back, as 95% of people who dieted do. Basically, let's just stop commenting on people's bodies altogether, particularly on the size of their bodies. Even if it's a well-intentioned compliment, really those messages are just doing more harm than good. Another thing we can do is to teach our kids. I don't know, unfortunately my generation might be a hopeless cause, but I really have hope that the next generation can do better in this area. I've shared before about some conversations I've had with my kids, and this is a regular topic in my house, and you better believe that my kids are going to be called out and get a talking to if I ever hear them use the word fat in a derogatory way. In fact, my 8-year-old son Ethan has gotten in trouble several times for using the word fat as an insult. He'll say things like, "You're a big fat poopy head," or, you know, something like an 8-year-old boy would say. And I point out, like, we do not use the word fat in a negative term. It's not that we don't say the word fat, but we use it in a completely neutral way. Speaking of Ethan, we had an interesting conversation the other day. He came and sat on the couch by me and he said, "Mom, I'm skinny because I run a lot." And I said, "Well, did you know that some people who run a lot aren't skinny? And some people who don't ever run are skinny?" And he thought for a minute. He's like, "No, I don't think that's right, Mom." And so we had a little discussion about body diversity and genetics and certain diseases. And after our conversation, after a little while, I could see this little light bulb go off in his head. And he said, "Well, you're fat, Mom, and you exercise a lot. And Dad is skinny and he doesn't exercise very much." Yep. So he has it right here in our house. He sees that body size is not correlated to activity level. But it took me pointing that out to him and having that conversation for it to really click. And again, I wasn't offended when he called me fat because I don't see that as an offensive term. Some people do, and so I don't encourage us to go and call people fat just because of the way it's used in our society. But that term has become neutralized in my brain, and I was glad that my son could see that my body size wasn't correlated to my activity level. I've seen problematic phrases in children's storybooks. I've seen phrases like fat and lazy in them. I remember some of the books I used to read as a child, they portrayed large people as really gluttonous and lazy and stupid and mean. So I'm very cautious to not bring any kinds of books like that into our house, obviously. And the last thing I want to encourage you to do is to just be open to continue learning and growing. I have heard people literally say that fat phobia isn't a real thing, or that shaming fat people really is helping them have motivation to change, or that it's literally impossible to be healthy and fat at the same time. In fact, while looking up research for this podcast episode, I came across a few articles on fat phobia, and at the end of every single one, there was at least one, usually more, but at least one comment about somebody who is upset about the article because they think that fat people are just looking for an excuse to be lazy and they just need to work harder, and basically reinforcing the article and proving that weight stigma is out there. But there are people that just don't believe it. They think it's all a matter of willpower. And maybe you're one of them. If you believe any or maybe all those statements I just mentioned, I strongly encourage you to just educate yourself more on this topic. Talk with people in large bodies who have real lived experiences. Listen as they tell you their repeated attempts to starve themselves or to exercise for hours a day, or the shame and humiliation they've had to endure because of their body size. Be open to learning something new and possibly changing your opinion about this topic. I am always looking for opportunities to learn from those in more marginalized bodies than my own. In fact, I posted a poll in a Facebook group recently for some market research I was doing, and somebody commented in the comment section that some of the terminology I had used in my poll might be problematic and might perpetuate healthism and ableism. And those are two topics for another day. Of course, I didn't have anything about weight loss in the poll, but I used words like motivation and willpower, and I initially didn't really think there was anything wrong with that poll. And my knee-jerk reaction was to get kind of defensive, especially since her comment was not worded very kindly. But once I stepped back and really tried to see where she was coming from, I could see her point of view. And I ended up taking the poll down and sending her a DM to thank her for taking the time to help me become more aware and to be more careful about how I word things going forward. So even I'm still learning, I'm sure I have work to do in this area, but my hope is if enough of us start changing how we talk about our own bodies and about the bodies of others, we can help save someone out there from getting an eating disorder or from spending their whole life hating their body. I invite you to share this episode with anybody who you think might be interested in learning more about this topic. Continue the conversation with family members and friends, and consider how you might personally help in the effort to end weight stigma and fat phobia. We are all in this together. Let's all do our part. Change isn't going to come overnight, but I absolutely believe it can come over time. We've seen it happen in other areas. Well, I hope that it can happen in this area soon. Every drop in the bucket helps make a difference. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Just by listening, you're doing your part. Just by educating yourself and being open-minded enough to listen to me talk about this, I really am so grateful you're here, so grateful you're part of this community, and I look forward to sharing about a new topic next week. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you later. Hey, real quick before you go, if you found this episode helpful in any way, would you do me a huge favor and take just a minute or two to leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts? It really helps the show get found by more people, and it just lights me up to know that the show is helping someone out there and that I should continue putting out more episodes. Thank you so much.